It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're going to read today in the book of Philippians, continuing the study there, chapter 1, Philippians chapter 1, be reading from verse 1 through verse 7. I'd love for you to join along with, read along with me, so please that you open your Bibles. While you're doing that, I'll share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're one block north of the Dairy Queen here in town, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to drop us a card, I'd love to hear from you. If you have something special you need me to pray for you, anything that you would like to let me know, just address it to Parkview Bible Church, Hamilton, Illinois, 18th and Church Street, and the zip code is 62341, and I'll sure receive it and get any information back to you that you would like to have. So please, I'd love to hear from you, and do enjoy hearing from many folks. So please let me know. Again, Philippians chapter 1, we'll begin to study and enjoy the precious study of the Word of God. Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance and of you always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, even as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, insomuch as both in my bonds, in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we begin the study. Father, I thank you today as we begin the study once again. It's a joy to study your precious word. Guide and lead us. Touch every heart with this gospel, this powerful, precious gospel of yours, bringing us to the very cross that you died for us and nailed all of our sins upon that cross. Please, Lord, that you will guide and you will lead us. Touch our hearts, Lord. It's such a great day to study your precious word, and we'll enjoy it this day. And now touch our hearts and change our lives with your precious word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, it is a great day to study the word of God. Each and every time that we open this precious scripture, we have so many wonderful verses of scripture that come before us that we can study and enjoy. And you know, we've in Thursday night, the last Thursday night of each month, while we're in La Harpe, we meet up at the Roger Johnson's and have Bible study up there once a month. And we've been studying the book of Colossians. And of course, taking it once a month, you can imagine how long that it takes us to go through any of these precious scriptures. But we do that and enjoy the study. And in the second chapter, we have here, and I tell you that you need to turn your life over to Jesus and meet him at the cross. And here's a precious verse for you. Again, I'm here to proclaim the word of God and let the power of God change your life. And Colossians chapter 2, verse 14 says, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that are against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, the cross of the Lord Jesus. Having spoiled the principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly and triumphing over them in it. And my friend, nailing it to his cross, the cross of Calvary. When I tell you that you need to come to the cross of Calvary and be saved, that's what the Word of God says. You need to come by faith to Jesus and be saved. And I ask that you do that today. Please don't tarry. Don't stay away any longer. Come to the cross of Calvary. Last week, we looked at these precious words. We talked about the church and who the church really amounts to. It's the body of believers. It's not just a building or a place that you come to meet. That can be any kind of an organization or club of any sort. The church is not a club. The church is a body of believers, all that have come to Jesus Christ by faith and been saved. Then we talked about how Paul thanked God in every remembrance of these folks of Philippi, and how it was such a joy to his heart. Then for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, that's the very thing that draws believers together, is the gospel. And that's the reason that many churches, when they believe that everybody in that church is saved, they kind of quit preaching the gospel. They say, why do we need an invitation? There's no reason to give an invitation because everybody there is saved. So why would I need to invite people to come to Jesus? There's several reasons. Number one, I question that everyone in your church is saved. Now, you call me a judge or whatever you want to, But I know that in this church, that I need to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, tell them that Jesus died for them, that their sins can be taken away, removed from them. I tell them that they are a sinner. I tell them they need to be saved, need to come by faith to Jesus Christ, and come today. Now, that's my call, and I'll tell you what, there's never a time we come together that we don't talk about that precious gospel. People have an opportunity to be saved. We close the service on Sunday, the end of the service, Sunday morning, and I give an invitation as people can come and come by faith to Jesus, be drawn to the Lord Jesus and be saved. So please, that you belong to a church that proclaims the Word of God and tells people how to be saved. That's a member of a group of believers. You're not a club. The common bond is the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And even if you are saved, there should be no words between heaven and hell. There should be no words that can be clearer and can be more important and can touch the very heart and change your life. None in existence anywhere that should be more important to you than the gospel. Now that's for you, believer. For the lost, it brings them. And they can be saved. But for you, believer, it's just a joy to our heart. It's precious words. We find that in the 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. He calls it, you know, he's always doing that. Peter's always saying it's precious. And it is. Oh, it's so precious. Chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant of the apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. You see, that's our common in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Precious faith, he calls it. I love hearing people talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I hate it when I don't hear it. It's such a joy to hear people talk about the Lord Jesus and the saving power that he has. We have even in the 14th verse of chapter 1 of Philippians here, and many of the brethren in the Lord, becoming confident by my bonds, in other words, he was in prison, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. The word there he's talking about is the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Oh, my friend, we got to tell people how to be saved. We got to tell people about that gospel, that sweet, precious faith that Peter's talking about and that Paul knows about. And he pleads that you come to Jesus and walk after the Lord Jesus. Now, because of this, we have in verse 6, again, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, I can give joy for that, Paul is saying. I have joy for that. And being confident, verse 6, chapter 1, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Oh, there's a work that needs to be performed in the life of a believer. There's a talent that you have. We are promised one at least, and probably several. But we are given certain abilities to carry out the mission work, the work of giving out the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, there are many ways in performing that. There are many ways in giving out the gospel. God has called me to preach, and so I give this gospel out by means of preaching, by means of teaching, as we do across the radio, as well as one-on-one. When I'm talking to somebody face-to-face, I love to tell them about Jesus. Now, my friend, we need to have the burden of giving out the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And it tells us again, being confident of this very thing, that he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul is talking to the church of Philippi. He has watched the church of Philippi as he led a handful of people to Jesus. And then they went right there to Philippi and started a church. They started bringing people to Jesus Christ. They did not build a building, put pews in it, stick a pulpit in it, put an altar in the front, and says, "We have built a church," and stopped right there with that handful of people that Paul led to Jesus. They built a church, and when you say and when you think about building a church, and the work that they had started when they built the church was they went home, they went to Philippi, went to their homes, and they started telling their friends, and they started telling their neighbors that Jesus saves. You're a sinner, and you need to be saved. please that you come to Jesus Christ. And once again, there is no other way. There is no other books. There is no other prophet. There is no other gods. There is one God. There is one God. Now I ask you that you follow after the God, the true God. And I ask that you come to Jesus Christ and be saved. There is only one way. There's a work to be performed, and we have it here in Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. I'd like to read for you. Colossians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. That their heart might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You know, as we begin our walk, maybe you've just come to Jesus Christ. Maybe you've heard the call that I've given for weeks and for months and for years now. You've heard the call to come to Jesus, and finally you have surrendered. Finally, you have given up and you've turned your heart, you've turned your life unto Jesus. Please that you, as you do that, then there's a work that begins. Maybe you're attending a Bible preaching church that preached the gospel and you were saved. Maybe another ministry somewhere. Maybe an evangelist come up. Maybe a friend came to your door and knocked on your door. He said, I got to talk to you. And you welcomed them in, and they came in, sat down on your couch, and you sat down in the recliner. And he says, I got to tell you about somebody that I've just met. And that friend of yours would be anxious to hear, who have you met that's so important to you? I've met Jesus Christ. And for the first time, am I free. He has taken my sins away. Now that's what Jesus does, and that's what we should be telling people. We should be telling people how to be saved. Now my friend, as you are the one that's a messenger, if you are saved, we need to go with the power and the wisdom of God. Well, we find where we can have that power and wisdom, because we know in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Well, I'll tell you what, let's go to the one. Let's go to God Himself that holds all of those things, because He wants to give them to us. He wants to entrust us with that power and strength, and He can if you'll turn your heart and your life to Him. Now, if you've just been saved, this should be wonderful words to your heart. If you've just been saved, haven't been saved very long, maybe a few months, maybe a few days, maybe a few hours, maybe just a few minutes, and you hear these words that you have a God. Now, how many times, how many hours of schooling have you had? Maybe you're one that's very educated and you hold a doctorate degree. You can still be very foolish and you can still be very ignorant if you lack the wisdom and knowledge of God. It's offered to you as a believer in Jesus Christ. It's there for you. So please that you call upon God that He can perform the work that He has for you. We are not puppets, but He has a work for us to do. When you go to work in the morning, at your job, you know, your employer, he has a work set out for you to do. And you're expected to carry that work out. And when you carry that work out, then you get a paycheck at the end of the week, don't you? But you know, if you refuse to carry out that work, it's not long that you and your boss aren't getting along. And it won't be too long down the road that you'll probably get fired because you're not doing your job. God expects us to do our job at work, but He also, through the saving power of Jesus Christ, has set a work before us to do for Him. A work that is much more important than our job, and yet our job, I can't stress that enough, because you need to be a witness and testimony at work, and the only way you can do that is if you do the best job you can do. There may be somebody next to you that can do it better than you. That doesn't matter. You need to do the best job you can do at what you're doing, because they need to see Jesus in you. And if you slough off, they're not going to see that. So it's important that you put in a good day's work for your employer so that he can see Jesus in you and other employees can see Jesus in you. Maybe you're the only one working. Doesn't matter. You're the one. You're saved. You're born again. You need to put in a good day's work. Well, we need to put in a good day's work for the Lord as well. and to perform. There's a job he has for us to do. You need to seek his will and way and get busy, get to work, perform it. And the joy of the wisdom here that we have. In Jude chapter 1, verse 1, we have Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. We got a job to do. We got a precious, sweet job to do. And it says, being confident. Again, back in the sixth verse, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The good work that was started, the very work that was started, was to cleanse your life, was to set you free from sin, to turn you loose from the bondage of sin. That was the good work that was set before you. That work you found at the cross of Calvary. As I read back in Colossians, nailed. They were nailed to the cross. Oh, please that you understand. Please that you let that Holy Spirit touch your heart and change your life, and you'll come to Jesus today. Please, please, I beg you to come to Jesus today. Jesus saves. Please come, whosoever. I love that precious scripture verse. Romans tells us the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That's the gift that Jude is talking about, that we come together, we're called. That's what we're talking about here. The confidence began a good work in the sixth verse of Philippians chapter 1. That good work that is started in you. Please that you set out with your eyes and your heart. Get it away from this old filthy world. Turn away from what people think are goals. And you may have some very big goals in your life. You may want to live in the biggest house. And you may want to have the highest paying job in the world. You may want to be the biggest farmer in the world. I don't know what your goals are. But I ask your goals that they be changed. That they be turned to goals that are pleasing unto the Lord. Now maybe the Lord will take you that avenue and take you that way and use you there. But he will not use you unless you have surrendered your heart and your life to him. And there's a good work that started if you've come by faith to Jesus. If you've met him at the cross, there's a work that's begun. Now let's sit down and realize that he wants to perform a work in you. He wants to continue it and carry it out. He will perform that work until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, there's a time that Jesus is coming. Now, last week we talked about the lake of fire, the Lamb's book of life, and those that are not written down in the Lamb's book of life will go into the lake of fire eternally. They are already in a place of torment. If they have died, went into the grave without Jesus. They did not trust by faith in the Lord Jesus, so they've went into that grave. Now, if they've went into the grave, they are in a place of torment today if their name was not written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. If they had not come by faith to Jesus, they have found themselves in the place of torment. Now, as we look at the place of torment, and I believe, as many do, that it's in the center of the earth, that place of torment. That place will be emptied out and they'll be brought before the judgment. Their soul and their body that lays today in the grave will be brought back together, and they'll stand before the judge and they'll be cast into the lake of fire eternally. Now we have the gnashing of teeth, we have the screams, the heat, total darkness, total separation from God, and I believe that we'll have our full memory and we'll remember every time that we decided not to trust in Jesus. Oh, please, please that you come to Jesus today and do not let that happen. But there is a time for the believer, a joyful time. First of all, we are in the church age at this time. From the time that the church started, we have the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. We have Pentecost just after the ascension of the Lord Jesus. Was raised from the dead, and 40 days later, he ascended back to the Father. 10 days later, we had Pentecost, and at that time is when the beginning, the church, it took place in Jerusalem. It was a great and glorious day. The disciples of the Lord Jesus, they were able to preach the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus to a multitude, to thousands of people in Jerusalem that had traveled to Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost. They heard the gospel. Many of them heard it, you know, with the tongues, the different tongues. It was unknown to maybe the person speaking it, unknown to the person that was beside him, but known to a person that was there because that was the language he understood. He understood the gospel of the Lord Jesus. When we use what people call the gift of tongues, it should always be for one purpose, and that is to bring somebody to Jesus, that I could share the gospel with someone that I don't know their language, but God would give me that precious, sweet gift to share it with them. Now, everyone that I have in my church speaks English. There is no purpose for that gift here and now, because they hear my words. They hear the words of God. Now, it's up to them how they trust and what they want to do with that. But you know, it's important that we understand that we're in that, from the time of that of Pentecost, the beginning, they preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus. All these years, from that time, they've been waiting the coming, the return of the Lord Jesus. Now, we call that the rapture of the church. There's a second coming of Jesus and the rapture of the church. Jesus is going to come himself and get us. Now, as I live right now, if I find myself that I have died, if my life is over, could be over today, none of us know. If my life is over today, then my old body's going to go into that grave like everybody else's. My soul will immediately go into the presence of the Lord. Okay, now as my body's laying there, it's still awaiting the coming of Jesus to get his church. Now, if I live and Jesus returns tomorrow and I'm still alive, then also I will be looking so forward to his come, awaiting his return. But if the one that died went into that grave, he first, that grave will be opened, his body and soul will be reunited, and then those that are alive will also be lifted up into the air and join the Lord Jesus and go home with him. That is at the rapture of the church. That is at the beginning, the end of the church age, and the beginning, immediately following that, will be the beginning of the tribulation. The tribulation will last for 7 years. Upon the close of the tribulation, and we're not going to get into that right now, but it's on the close of the tribulation, then that is what is really the second coming of Jesus. Because the rapture I'm talking about, he meets us in the air. He doesn't come and plant his feet upon this earth. So he really doesn't come all the way to earth once again to get us. He comes upon the second coming after the rapture, after the tribulation. Then comes the second coming of Jesus when he comes and plants his feet down upon this earth. Now, I want you to understand that. We have the church age started there at Pentecost. That's when everyone heard the gospel so clearly, and it was just scattered worldwide instantly almost. And as that gospel was presented so clearly, and now for 2,000 years, we've still awaited Jesus to come and get his church. The church, every believer in Jesus Christ. Not the Presbyterians and the Methodists and the Baptists and the Catholics, and you can go on and on with all the names. Not those, but members possibly of those places, but believers. Anyone that has come by faith to Jesus Christ, he is going to come and get one of these days, and I believe the days are very soon. We have in Philippians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, Philippians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. The purpose of Paul is that I have worked a work that's pleasing unto the Lord. I have not done one work. I have not run this race of this life in vain, but I have done it to the glory of God. I have sought out his will and way for my life. And it's so important that we look unto the Lord Jesus and we see his power and his strength. We have in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. We need to be looking for the coming of Jesus. We need to be awaiting him to come and get his church. That's what we're waiting on. Now, again, that's the rapture. That's not the second coming. 7 years after the rapture will be the second coming of Jesus. That's when he's going to come down here and plant his feet upon this earth. We're awaiting the rapture of the church. I believe that every person that is a believer in Jesus Christ that has come by faith to Jesus will be raptured from here. Again, those that are dead, that have faced the grave, and their souls are in the presence of God, they will be reunited with their bodies. That grave will be opened. They'll have their glorified bodies. But we that are alive, if I happen to still be alive, and I hope so, I hope I don't have. I go to too many funerals. I preach too many funerals. Because that's a time that's a sad time, a sorrowful time. I'd love to miss that. It wouldn't be a problem with me if my old body isn't laid in that grave. That wouldn't be a problem. But you know, if God tarries, that's what's going to happen. And if that's God's will, that's fine. My soul will be in the presence of God, and my body will lay in that grave. It'll turn to dust. But he's going to put my body, glorified body, back together with my soul, reunite them, and forever we're going to be with the Lord. But if I'm still alive and he comes, I'm going to be in his presence immediately. He's going to meet us in the air. That trump's going to sound. Oh, it's going to be a glorious day that he calls his church home. And that's always been an exciting thing to my heart, that he's not going to send an angel to come. He's not going to send a helper to come. He's going to come himself. Jesus Christ, the one that bought me and paid for me with his life, his death, his precious blood, he paid for me that I can be ransomed, redeemed, back into fellowship with God only because of Jesus, only because of his love. And that same God, Jesus Christ, he is going to come down, and I'm going to see. We can even see the nail-scarred hand. You know, when he walked for that 40 days after the resurrection, they knew it was him. He told Thomas. He said, "Touch my hands. Feel the nails and nail holes in my hands. Thrust your fist into my stomach. Feel that. Because I tell you what, you can see the scars. None of us are going to have scars, but those scars are wonderful scars, because those scars are a result of us, of him paying the price for us. Jesus paying the price for me, that I can live." And oh, as we look here, being confident of this very thing, that he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Whether I face the grave first and await, or whether I am still alive and await his coming. When he's coming, it's going to be a great day and a glorious day, and I await the sound that I hear. It's going to be like a trump. But I believe it's going to be the voice of the Lord Jesus calling his saints home. Every person that's a believer in Jesus Christ. Now, it's going to be a sad day for you if you don't know Jesus. If you've never come to the Lord Jesus, it's going to be a sad, sick day for you, because you're still going to be here, and you're going to go into that tribulation. Wicked time. You think we've faced a wicked world to this point? You haven't seen nothing yet. I've heard people say they think they're living in hell right now. You haven't seen nothing yet. My friend, I'll call you again. What are you going to do about Jesus?